548. Let's all stand tonight. Glory to His name. Page 548. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. On a second now. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of mine. Glory to His name.
Let's turn around and shake hands, fellowship one with one another, and let our visitors know how glad we are to have them.
The last now. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood.
Let's remain standing. Word of prayer. Good to have those that are visiting with us tonight. Good to have Brother Dale and his wife here tonight. And they were here last Wednesday night. I didn't recognize you. Couldn't recognize you from this far back. But good to have you back tonight. And others that are here, appreciate all of you being in the service. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to move and work in our hearts and to touch in a special way. David Knight, if you would, lead us in prayer, please. Yes. Yes. Yes, open our heart. Yes. 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 Amen. Let's remain standing and keep on singing.
Page 269, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Second now, for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. Third now, nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Just a few announcements to make mention of. You've heard Brother David the last several weeks been talking about Ed Dunlop coming back. That'll be this coming Sunday, so don't forget about that. This Sunday, and we're excited about that. I was just thinking a few minutes ago, the last time he came, all the children that were saved, I think nearly every night, I think there was one night that there was no children that got there, came forward and accepted the Lord as their Savior. But every night that he was here, other than that one night, there was 2, 3, 4, 10 and 12 kids coming forward getting saved, and it was exciting. He's going to be here again this coming Sunday just for one day, and so you be praying, you be much in prayer about that. Lord, we're really praying that the Lord will just send all the kids from all over this city in for this particular day, and we're really praying that the Lord will do a work, and we'll see a lot of kids get saved on this coming Sunday. So we're excited about that, and you pray about it. And if you got kids in your neighborhood or whatever, like I do, I can't even pull out of my driveway without almost running into one of them walking across in front of me. So let's be busy about trying to get them in here. They will enjoy it. He is good, and we're excited to see what God's going to do this coming Sunday. Also, don't forget about our Red Blue contest. Last week, I was very, very excited about the turnout and the way the things went, and just about every class was over their average, and I was very, very excited. If I lose this contest, if the blue team loses this contest, and we see numbers like that all the time and keep raising like that, I will be just fine with that. Get people in here, get them underneath the preaching of God's Word. That's what it's all about. And so we're excited about these things. This particular Sunday, with Brother Ed coming here, we got a tall order before us, the blue team. Remember, he's got all these kids coming here, so we're going to have to work especially hard this week to try to get some adults in here to take, maybe get the parents of these children to come with us too. But anyway, be much in prayer about the Red Blue contest. We want to see souls saved through this, and so you be praying about these things.
Let's let ushers come forward to receive our offering. We appreciate Kim filling in for us tonight. Mary Jo and Bob, their daughter Kim, is she at the hospital right now? Kim is at the hospital having their baby. So let's pray that Bob, don't mark that child. Let's pray that the Lord will watch over Kim's baby. Maybe they'll hide Bob until it gets here, kind of things, features get set a little bit. But anyway, let's remember Kim. But that's where they're at tonight, so remember them. But we appreciate Kim filling in for us. We've got a lot of things to be praying about. We'll mention several of those in just a little while. Let's pray for Saturday. Of course, we'll be having our leader seminar that begins at 9 o'clock, and we'll go to about 1, maybe 1:15. So you want to keep that in mind. All of you that are leaders and workers in the church want you to come. Have a lot of different things that we'll be talking about, classes we'll be having for special things, and so that's Saturday. So keep that in mind. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless the service. Father, we thank you now for bringing us together tonight as you have, and we ask you, Lord, that you open our hearts up to your word, and Lord, that you would, Lord, give us a burden to pray. And I pray tonight that as we come together in our prayer meeting, that we'll indeed catch the burden in the spirit of prayer, and that our prayers will be effective tonight. Hear your children as we have gathered here this evening to pray. Bless the offering now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to ask Darren Haskett if he'll come and sing for us.
Praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, praying for me. Angels are watching. Watching over me. There's many miles ahead before I get home. Still, I'm safely kept before your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. angels are watching over me. See, I've crossed the barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light has ever shone. Still I went home, 'cause there was someone on their knees. And I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
Let's take God's Word and turn to 1 Timothy 2 for just a moment, if you would, please. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to look at a few verses of Scripture. And let me share with you just a thought about prayer. A few weeks ago, I talked to you about developing a prayer list. How many of you still have those little cards in your Bible? Well, several of you. And I hope that you have begun to develop a prayer list. We looked at 1 Thessalonians, of course, there the Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And the ideal is making mention of you all, and how that he had prayed for each one of them. It was almost like he had a prayer list. And he went down that list and he prayed for each one of them by name and prayed that God would meet their needs. An important tool in our prayer life is a prayer list. And it encourages my heart to see the many of you that raised your hand said, I still have my prayer list, and I hope that you are developing that. But yet as I got to thinking about a prayer list, I got to thinking about how that God has also given us a prayer list in the Bible. Given us several of them for that fact, and we're going to be looking at them over the next few Wednesday nights. But I want you to look in 1 Thessalonians, or rather 1 Timothy 2, and I want you to notice the first of several prayer lists that are given to us in the Bible. These are God's prayer lists. And we look in 1 Timothy 2, let me read verse 1 and 2. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, there are a number of things in that verse about prayer. In fact, there are four types of prayer that are mentioned in verse 1. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. That word supplications comes from a verb that refers to something that is lacking or something that is missing. And the ideal is that you and I can come to God and pray about the things that we have need of in our life. Again, the ideal is of something that is missing or something that is lacking. Thus, supplication is when we come to God and we ask God to meet the needs in our life. You can pray about your needs, and I'm glad of that. You can pray about your financial needs. You can pray about your physical needs. You can pray about your emotional needs. You can pray about your marital needs. You can pray about your spiritual needs. Whatever the needs may be, you can ask God to meet them. That is supplications. Then he mentioned the matter of prayers. And the word prayers there is a word that is used to speak of worship or reverence.
And I believe what is given here in the word prayers is the attitude in which we come to God. We are not coming to the big daddy in the sky, and we're not coming to the man upstairs, but we are coming to a thrice holy God. And when we come to God, we ought to come to God with the right kind of attitude, that we are coming to our Heavenly Father and that He is a holy God. The word intercessions is a word that has the ideal of becoming intimately involved in something or someone and their needs. Intercession is you and I praying to God on the behalf of someone else. Supplications is you and I praying about our own needs. I have the right to come to God and pray about the needs of my life. That is supplication. Intercession is me praying for your needs and praying for others. Intercession is not necessarily me asking God to do something for myself. Intercession is when I come to God on the behalf of someone else. Abraham is a great example of that. And as we've been going through the book of Genesis on Sunday night, you remember in chapter 18 we thought about touching heaven for others. How Abraham interceded on the behalf of the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is intercession. And of course the giving of thanks. Prayer ought to consist of thankfulness. Thankful for what God has done. Thankful for the prayers that He's already answered. But there ought to be the matter of thanksgiving. And He gives us these four classifications of prayer. But notice what He had to say about them. He says and tells us that prayer is the priority and prayer is the most important thing that we can do. You see what He said in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all. Now He's not talking about first of all in sequence. He's talking about first of all in importance. Here is a young pastor now, and Paul is giving this young protege a course in pastoral theology and a course in pastoral ministry, and he says to Timothy that the most important thing and the first responsibility of the church is to pray. And most of us would have to confess that in the average church, prayer is not the priority. Music is a priority. Preaching is a priority. And all of these things are important, and all of these things are vital. And they have a very important role. They are indispensable to what goes on in our worship. But he tells us in verse 1 here that the priority and the most important thing and that which is first above anything else is the matter of prayer. It's a call for the church to pray. Most churches that you would go into, basically the only prayer that you have is the opening of the service and maybe a prayer over the offering and then a closing prayer. Some places still have a prayer room where there'll be a handful of men and a handful of women that'll meet in a prayer room before service and they'll talk about the weather and how the calves are doing and what's wrong with the car and a few things like that. And then they realize, hey, we've got 2 minutes to service, now let's pray. And they'll get down to pray a little bit and then head out in the service. That's my experience with the average prayer room. But the Bible tells us that prayer is to be first of all. The most important thing and the first thing a church should do is the matter of prayer. That's what we're doing on Wednesday night. That's why we are developing our Wednesday night into a prayer meeting. Not by title, but in action. We want to pray. And there's a reason for it, and there is the reason in verse 1. But after he talks about the importance of prayer, and he talks about the kind of prayer, that it ought to be a priority in our life to pray about our own needs, it ought to be a priority in the life of the church to intercede and to come to God in the proper attitude and to give Him thanks, then in verse 2, he begins to give us a prayer list. He tells us all to pray. And then he tells us for whom to pray. And notice beginning in verse 1 or verse 2 that he begins to give us some things that we ought to pray for. Again, keeping in mind now, he said that the first thing the church ought to do is to pray. Now let me give you some things to pray about. In verse 2, we are told to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty. As I look in 1 Timothy 2, I find there are basically two things that he tells us we ought to pray about. One, we ought to pray for our secular leaders. You notice in verse 2, for kings. And of course, in our way of thinking, we would say a president or those who rule over us in a high position of authority. It would involve our president, it would involve our vice president, It would involve our senators. It would involve our congressmen. It would involve those who lead us in national life. And he said we ought to pray for them, that it might, because their leadership affects the way that we live. He talks about that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and in all honesty. He tells us all to pray for those that are in places of authority. Now, it doesn't matter tonight whether you voted for Bill Clinton or not. You ought to pray for Bill Clinton. In fact, if there's any president we've ever had that needed prayer, it's Bill Clinton. Say amen right there. I shouldn't. That slipped out. But anyway, once it got out, I can't recover it. So I feel real bad about saying that. But seriously, we ought to pray for our president, whether it be Bill Clinton or who may follow him, whether it was George Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, whoever it might have been. We are told to pray for our leaders, because what our leaders do, the decisions they make and the laws they affect and the lives that they live, both private and public, they affect our lives as the citizens of that nation. We ought to pray for them. Every day we ought to lift our president up in prayer. Every day we ought to pray for those who lead us. And then he says, not only for kings, but for all that are in authority. And the idea behind that statement is that anybody that holds a position of authority over us in the secular world, we are to pray for them. That would include our governors. That would include our state senators. That would include our state legislators. That would include our mayor. That would include our city councilmen. That would include our county commissioners. That would include all of those who are in positions and places of authority over us. We ought to pray for them. Of course, Commissioner Adams is a member of this church, and we often pray for him. But we ought to pray for him as well as everyone that serves in some capacity and a role of authority over us. We ought to pray for our secular leaders. Now listen, this is what the Bible is telling us. It's telling us prayer is a priority. And he tells us we ought to pray for our secular leaders. So you ought to put those names on your prayer list, and you ought to pray for them. I think also, as I look at the context of this statement here, not only does he encourage us to pray for our secular leaders, but he also encourages us to pray for our spiritual leaders. For he goes on to say in verse 3 that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Not only do I see him encouraging us to pray for secular leaders, but he identifies himself as being ordained by God to preach the gospel. And then he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Again, he is telling us we ought to pray for our spiritual leaders. And that is, in this case, in our case here, it would be me, it would be all of those who serve this church in any way, fashion, or form. It would be Brother Brian as he serves as an associate here. Brother David that serves with our youth. For those who fulfill certain roles, not on a full-time basis, but also in deacons and different things. But primarily he's talking about our spiritual leaders and talking about our preachers and the pastors. Some years ago there was an evangelist that made an announcement on one night in the meeting. He said, tomorrow night I am going to bring a message on how to fire your preacher. He said, I have sensed a few things in this congregation, so I want you here tomorrow night, and I'm going to tell you how to fire your preacher. Well, that kind of perked a few up. So they were there the next night. The building was filled, and he got up and he said, if you want to fire your preacher, pray for him. Pray that the Holy Ghost will fall on him and fire him up. I like that. Amen. That's how to fire your preacher. It has been said that great preachers make great churches, and that is true. But I also believe this, that great churches can make great preachers. I think about a man by the name of Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman. His music is some of the finest music that was ever given to the Church of Jesus Christ. One Day is one of his songs, and there are many, many others, and we have sung them here time and time and time again. I have always loved the music of J. Wilbur Chapman. What a great evangelist he was, not only giving us the music that he's given to the church, but the role that he played in American history and the role that he played in English history and the phenomenal ministry that God gave J. Wilbur Chapman. He affected one young man that literally changed this country for a short period of time. There was a young man that worked setting up the tent, taking the tents down, putting the tabernacle up and putting it down. That young man watched him and his life was changed and went on to become, or he was working with Billy Sunday, I should say, and his life was changed and went on to become the great leader that he was. But when J. Wilbur Chapman was a young pastor, the folks were very disappointed in him. And there was a group of the men, the elders of the church that he pastored, got together and decided they needed to get rid of him. He was not a good speaker. He was not a good pastor. He was not a good preacher. And they felt like something needed to be done. And so they got together and began to discuss it. And finally, someone spoke up and said, "I believe we are wrong. This is not right what we're about to do." He said, "I submit and ask you that we join together and we begin praying for our pastor, that God will do what is needed." And the result was God gave them J. Wilbur Chapman as we know him today. It is true that great preachers make great churches. I do not believe that a church rises any higher than its leader. But at the same time, I do believe that great churches can be instrumental in making great preachers. Better praying in the pews will make for better preaching in the pulpit. Can I get an amen there? Pray for your spiritual leader. I beg you and I beseech you tonight to put me on your prayer list and to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. And I thought about as Darren was talking about someone praying for me. And the thought went through my mind, I wonder how many have prayed for me this day. Pray for your secular leaders. Pray for your spiritual leaders. Let me give you three things you ought to pray for as regard to my life and ministry. Jot these three things down. How should you pray for me? How should you pray for the pastor? First of all, pray that God will prosper his ministry. You ought to pray that God will bless my ministry. I often say I want to be blessed of God. You ought to pray that God will prosper my ministry for his honor and glory. For in my ministry being prospered, do you realize that you would be prospered and you would be blessed as well? Pray that God will prosper my ministry. Second of all, pray that God will promote my ministry. That is, not only bless my ministry and make it effective, but that God would enlarge my ministry. I want to be enlarged. I sometimes think I've got more things to do now, and I am grateful for all that God has given me. And sometimes I find myself, I feel like I'm out of breath just trying to keep up with the things that God has given me to do and the areas of ministry that he has brought my way. But yet at the same time, I think about Hudson Taylor, who often pray, "Lord, give me wider usefulness." I want that. And I want you to pray, and you ought to pray, whether it be me or whoever would serve as your pastor, that God would promote the pastor's ministry and would enlarge the pastor's ministry. I am thankful for what he's given me, but I want to do more. And I want you to pray that God would let me do more. Through the years, and I am grateful for this congregation and your unselfishness in being able to share me. That's not the case everywhere. I know churches that struggle with the absence of their pastor, being in meetings and different things. And there are some folk that have a lot of problems with that. But yet I think they have never stopped to really think about what they feel. And they never stopped to weigh the matter out. What are they really saying? We don't want our pastor to be gone. We don't want him to go here and that and the other. First of all, that is very selfish as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Because the pastor is God's gift to the body before he was ever God's gift to the church. And it's a matter of asking God to enlarge my ministries and that God will give me more opportunities to serve him. There is one way to take care of a preacher being gone. Get somebody that nobody wants to hear and you'll never have to worry about that again. Amen? I'll say amen. Amen. But I pray that God will prosper me. I'm serious about these things. Two, pray that God will promote the ministry of the pastor. And thirdly, pray that God will protect the ministry of the pastor. Every one of us is in this room tonight is human, and I am no exception. And I need you to lift me up day by day by day. It is alarming as I hear of this, and alarming as I almost every time you turn around, you're hearing about another one that has bit the bullet, another minister that is falling. Pray that God will protect me, and pray that God will put a hedge about me. I don't want to sacrifice what I have enjoyed all these years for one moment of pleasure. Pray that God will protect His men in the ministry. When I watch the president on TV, he's always surrounded by members of the Secret Service. And I say to you tonight that a pastor, what he needs is a Secret Service of intercessors. Those who are around him and are holding his hands up every moment, lifting him up to God, that God would watch over him and God would protect him. You see, here is God's prayer list. God says you ought to pray for kings and those who are in authority over you. You ought to pray for your spiritual leaders. And as I have suggested, pray that God will prosper them. Pray that God will promote them. Pray that God will protect the pastor. Praying for these things. I think about something Jeremy Taylor said in the year 1650. Christ hath put it in talking about the power of prayer into the hands of men. And the prayers of men have saved cities and kingdoms from ruin. Prayer hath raised dead men to life, hath stopped the violence of fire, shut the mouths of wild beasts, altered the course of nature, caused rain in Egypt, drought in the sea. Prayer rules over gods. It arrests the sun in its course and stays the chariot wheels of the morning. It reconciles our suffering and weak faculties with the violence and violence of persecution, and it pleases God and supplies all our needs. That's why we pray, and I encourage you to pray for these things. Rick, let's sing a stanza of some song, and then we'll have our prayer time.
I am thine, O Lord.
Take your prayer list if you have it there, please. And if you're missing these on Wednesday night, let me encourage you to get one. These are things that we are trying to pray for and learning how to pray for them specifically. Praying for our missionary of the week. Instead of just saying, Lord, bless our missionaries, we want to pray specifically for missionaries. Praying for a church of the week. Instead of saying, Lord, bless the churches, we want to pray specifically for a church and then those that are in the hospital. Our missionary of the week is Bill and Cindy Murdoch. They are members of this church, and they've been serving the Lord now in Costa Rica for 20-plus years. And we want to remember Bill and Cindy. They are doing an excellent job there, and many of you have been there. We took a group there several years ago, And you have seen the ministry and the work that God has done through Bill and Cindy and that work all over the country of Costa Rica. And we thank God for it. And let's remember them. And also their address is listed there. And maybe you would write them a letter. Just let them know that you prayed for them. And you would send it Bill and Bill Murdoch, Interlink number 579, as it's given there. But let's remember Bill and Cindy and pray for them. Bill is filling in right now for Russ Turner. This is Kim's brother who has a ministry in Costa Rica, and he is home on furlough. So Bill and Cindy are filling in to where Rusty pastors up there. And we've been there. Many of you saw the building when it was first being built there and have a great work. So I want to remember Bill and Cindy as they are serving in that area. Also, our Church of the Week, Mission Ridge Baptist Church, Brother Marvin Morrison. And, of course, Marvin is from this church, and we saw the Lord do a lot in Marvin and Rita's life during the time that we're here serving the Lord at Mission Ridge, and want to remember them and be praying for them and ask the Lord to continue to bless Mission Ridge for the glory of God. Let me give you another church name to pray for tonight. Add this name to your list. We'll try to do this as well as praying for churches individually. The Fellowship Baptist Church in East Ridge is in revival this week, and Brother Bob Henson is the pastor, and we're going to come back and pray for this church in the very near future. Brother Bob has cancer. We want to remember Bob, but they're in revival this week. Let's pray that God will bless the revival. Brother Ed Ballou will be there joining them tomorrow night, Friday night. He's supposed to be there all week long, but Brother Ed is a member of the Hooker family, so he has been with the family and did the funeral this morning. But we want to pray for Fellowship Baptist and pray that God will bless their revival meeting. Also, our hospital list tonight, James Doss, this is Sharon Knight's uncle. Also, Dr. Brawley, Dr. Thomas Brawley, I mentioned him last week. He is not doing well, but I want to pray for him. He's in surgical intensive care at Erlanger Hospital. Lift him up. And also add to your list at Memorial Hospital, Vivian Fletcher. Vivian hurt her back today, and she's in room 206 at Memorial Hospital. And I talked to Steve just a little while ago and said Vivian was in a lot of pain. So I want to remember Vivian tonight. Also, Kim, Bob and Mary Jo's daughter. And let's pray that the Lord will watch over her in the delivery of her baby. And then there are several things that are mentioned here. We want to mention those. In fact, what we're going to do in just a little while, we're going to ask some of you to pray specifically for these. But add these to the list there. Jack and Inez Russell. Jack had eye surgery. He is at home, but doing good. And also Inez. Inez has cancer. She just recently found out she has cancer in her other lung. You remember not too long ago, they removed the lung. So she doesn't have but one. And there's a spot there, and you want to remember Inez. Also, Rosie King, make note of that. Her sister died, and we don't know any of the details. We know it'd be at the Carr Funeral Home in Gunnersville, Alabama. But let's remember Rosie. Also add Gene Colwick, his aunt, passed away. Virginia. How would you pronounce it? Anybody know how you pronounce that, Brian? A Lovren or something. Something like that. But anyway, Gene Colwick's aunt. And I'm not sure where she is at. I just found out about it. Does anybody know where she is and when the funeral is? The funeral's tomorrow, I think. But let's remember this and be praying for them. That's where Gene is at tonight. And also, of course, Brother Ronnie Hooker, his family, remember them and be praying for him. He was buried this afternoon. So let's remember this family. And of course, what a shock this has been to so many and to folks here in this area as well as the church that he pastored in Marietta, Georgia. So let's remember Brother Ronnie Hooker's family, Judy, all the children and grandchildren, different ones. Let's remember them. Also add a name of Mrs. Mamie Bean, the family of Mamie Bean. Bean, Rick may remember Mrs. Bean, Henry and Mamie Bean. Miss Bean went home to be with the Lord last night. I'll be doing that funeral tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Colder Chapel in Red Bank. So remember the Bean family, be praying for them and asking the Lord to meet their need. Our quote of the week is, "The devil is aware that 1 hour of close fellowship, hearty converse with God in prayer, is able to pull down what he hath been contriving, building in many years." And that is great with John Flavel. So let's remember these things in prayer. All right, this is what we want to do. I want our mission committee, if they would, the men of our mission committee, to come and just gather around here and pray for Bill and Cindy Murdoch, specifically praying for them. You pray for other things, but your primary objective is you want to pray for Bill and that God will bless. Our deacons that are here tonight, would you come As you serve and leaders of this church, I want you to pray for the Mission Ridge Baptist Church, Brother Marvin Morrison, also the Fellowship Baptist Church in East Ridge. Pray for them and different things. And then I want you to join together with me, and let's pray specifically for these things tonight. I need a couple of you that will come and kneel together somewhere around the front and pray for Sharon Knight's uncle, Mr. Doss. What is his need? Is he cancer, heart? Okay. He fell and it created an aneurysm in this 88, and so he's had to have brain surgery. A couple of you, it doesn't matter, men and women, whoever, a couple of you, what two of you will come and pray for Mr. Doss tonight? Somebody come with Sharon. She's coming to pray. Who'll come and pray for Sharon and pray for there? Lisa, you come and kneel with Sharon, pray specifically for Mr. Doss. I need a couple of you that'll come tonight and pray for Dr. Brawley and Dr. Thomas Brawley. Who will do that? Pray for you. There's Beverly. He'll come and pray with Beverly and pray for Dr. Brawley. He has cancer and there's other problems that come up, and we want to remember him, be praying for Dr. Brawley tonight. I think he may be others, I think. Sure. He'll come tonight. A couple of you will come tonight and pray for Vivian Fletcher. Here's Matt. And there comes Peggy and John are going to come pray for Vivian. And then I need a couple of you that will come pray specifically for our workers' seminar on Saturday. That God will touch our workers' seminar and pray for them. A couple of folks will do that. He'll get up out of the seat right now and just come and kneel for those. There's Robin. Somebody else will join Robin here and pray with her about this. There's Jan and Larry Lively. I need a couple of you to come and pray tonight for Larry. Why don't you come, Norman? Gene, and who'll come with Norma Jean? This is Norma's brother, and he has cancer. Bobby and there are others are coming there. Mr. Cummings, this is Janet Turnmeyer's father, has cancer, and who'll come tonight and pray for Golden Cummings? One or two of you and coming together to pray. Just get up out of your seat and come and do that. There's a couple of you. Good. Peggy Falls' niece, Billy Walker, this also has cancer. A couple of you come. Who of you will come and pray for Billy Walker? You're praying for him. He has cancer, specific needs. Good. Jim Sink, this is Eva DeBoard's uncle. Who will come and pray for them? Is Eva here tonight? I thought I saw her come in here. She's already up here praying for someone. Someone else will come and pray for Jim Sink. If you do that, members, visitors, it matters not who you are, and won't you get up and pray for them. Maybe you don't want to come to the front, but you want to pray where you're at. That's fine. It doesn't matter to me where you pray. It doesn't matter how you pray, on top of your head, on your back, your feet stuck straight. I don't care how you pray, as long as you pray. I don't care where you pray, as long as you pray. Laurel Carwell, this is a lady that needs a kidney. It's a real serious need. And who'll pray for Mrs. Carwell and lift them up in prayer? Over here's Mary. How about Opal Rux? Opal's homesick, and she don't ever miss. Back here, someone's going to pray. Rosie King. That's her little heart. Let's pray the Lord to touch her and hurt and help her. And Sam, pray for her. She lost a son. She grieves day by day by day. Now she's lost a sister. Let's remember him. Who'll remember Brother Gene and his family tonight and the loss of the aunt over there, okay? And then Brother Ronnie Hooker. In fact, we'll all come and pray for them in just a little while. Who'll remember the Bean family tonight? Just lift them up. The loss of two daughters and their mother that died. Who'll remember the Beans? And pray for them right over here. That is good. So let's remember these. And Jack and Inez Russell. Who will pray for Jack? Right here. Okay, got several. All right. And then the rest of you, all of us. I want us to pray, and the ladies will begin to play softly in just a moment. If you want to kneel down between the pew or just sit, again, the posture is not the important thing of prayer. But let's remember these requests, and then collectively tonight, let's remember Brother Ronnie Hooker's family. Pray the Lord would touch them. There's so many needs. A wife, children, his family. His mother just went home to be with the Lord about 2 weeks ago, so these are back-to-back deaths for this family. The Eastwood Baptist Church, I can only imagine how they are feeling, and I'm sure they've not just got from being shocked at what is happening. Let's remember them. And let's lift him up in prayer. So all of you across the building, let's all just pray together, and then we'll all pray. And I'll call on some of you and just pray. Eddie Burgess, would you just stand where you are and lead us in prayer, please?